Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Psalm 16, starting in verse 5, the scripture says this, "Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines for me have fallen in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance." Let me read that verse again. The boundary lines, the parameters that my life is guarded by, protected by, defined by at this moment, the boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. And surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices, and my body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay, which is a prophetic scripture, obviously, about Jesus. You make known to me the path of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures, at your right hand. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the direction, the redirection, the recalibration in my life that always happens when I see and hear your word and recognize your word. I think that you're faithful. Lord, when I mess up, when I'm askew, when I'm off track, your word brings me back on track. So thank you for it, Father. We treasure the word of God. And everyone said, Amen. One thing we do here, well, first before we do that, my name is Tom Kyle. My wife Randy's in the front row, and we have the privilege of serving this community. We would love to meet you afterwards, especially if you're newish here. But we thank you for coming, and our delight, desire, and want is that you would encounter Jesus this morning, that you would hear his voice, that you would understand how overwhelmingly in love he is with you as we are. And we, you know, sometimes I go out and look at my car and there's a dent, there's a ding, and I'm like, ugh. The Lord sees our dent and our dings, and there's no ugh when he sees us. He looks at us and he just loves us the way we are, which is amazing. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. We are on a series, as I mentioned previously, on the presence of God. Finishes presence with a CE. I'm super excited about it. You may not be able to see it. You may have to put your monocle, your telescope, your binoculars to see, but it says the title to today's message is Peace or Pieces? Peace, P-E-A-C-E, Peace or Pieces, P-E-I-C-E-S, if I can spell that. Is that correct? No. No, it's I before E, except after C. My mother's a school teacher. I should have learned that. I slept through class. I don't know. See, that was my problem at Pattonville, sir. Don, that you probably did far better than I did. But peace, internal, or is my life falling to pieces? Those are the options, two of the options that we have in life. Peace or pieces. I'd like to start with a simple illustration that I just want to say, I got my wife's permission ahead of time. Yeah, John Block knows, everyone be nervous. I got my wife's permission to use this illustration because it exemplifies a little bit, it illustrates a little bit of what I want to talk about this morning. And I also want to say, I'm going to touch on fear this morning. And some of you say, oh, boy, it must have been what happened last night. It had nothing to do with what happened last night as far as the Middle East. Just one of those where you just find, okay, Lord, maybe there's a theme in our nation and our world that heaven wants to address and heaven wants to touch on. So, peace or pieces. Who knows what a furuncle is? All you word people, come on, no Google searches. Furuncle.
Can you spell it?
Nope. Sure can. Already showed with pieces. Can't spell it. Prove my point. Thank you, Audrey. She prays, and she's a wordsmith. This lady wants to know, can you spell that? That's not a word. It's not Scrabble, Audrey. You can't challenge. F-U-R, fur, back of the hair, fur, uncle, as in aunt. Uncle, fur uncle. Okay, don't. Audrey, I can see she's already Googling it. I'm going to use that. That's on triple word. Fur uncle. It's gross. Don't look. I see people looking. When I was 6 years old, my mom and dad, when I was four, my mom and dad divorced. We were living in Paris, France. We left France, flew back on a military plane, and my birth mother went that way, and my dad and my sister and I went that way. And my dad got remarried. We were living, when we came back from Paris, France, we restarted in El Paso, Texas, which is my home. And my dad married my stepmom. My stepmom was the first grade school teacher who taught me how to spell pieces. I before E, except after C, except when I can't spell it. And so my relationship with, a year later, I'm with my stepmom. I don't know my stepmom very well because she's my stepmom. And it's not a strained relationship at all. She's just new to me. Don't know her. And so we moved almost immediately from El Paso to Albuquerque, New Mexico, A-L-B-U-Q-U-R-Q-U-E. You do that. If you live there, you could probably spell it too. Albuquerque, New Mexico. And so I began in first grade and living life. I'm 6 years old, and I developed a furuncle. A furuncle is a boil. I'm going to show a picture. No, I am not going to show a picture. I developed a boil on my back. And you might think, oh, that's gross. You can't mention that in church. Anybody ever heard of Job? It's in the Bible. Covered in boils. It's a biblical thing. So on my back, right on my belt line, on my back, I developed a boil. I'm 6 years old. I don't know what a boil is. All I know is I was in the most excruciating pain of my life. So my mom took me to a pediatrician and went in and, pediatrician. Went to the doctor, and you're talking about trigger, scar, damage, issue. I don't do doctors to this day. Maybe it goes back to the furuncle. Went into the pediatrician's office, and the doctor had me lay face down. I have no idea what's happening. I just want relief. And I'm not going to get gross, so I'm not showing a picture. And the pediatrician doctor kindly lanced my problem. And I screamed. I'm 6 years old. I don't care who hears because I'm 6 years old and I'm in pain. And then the doctor proceeded to excise the problem. And if you don't know that word, it's okay. And I was in there for maybe 10 minutes. And he applied great pressure multiple times to excise my furuncle. And it was so bad, it had to be gauze was applied. I had to go back multiple times to treat the problem. It was a massive problem. All I remember was I screamed and screamed and screamed in that doctor's office. I walked out with my stepmother holding her hand, and I remember walking into the waiting room. It's a pediatric office filled with kids. There were kids weeping. And I'll never forget, two girls, little girls, pointed at me, weeping for me because I had created such terror. They didn't have a fur uncle, but they shared mine. And I remember the next day, my stepmother talking about the panic that I had caused in the pediatric office because all the other kids thought they're going to get the same thing I just did. Note to self. I was in pain, and I was terrified, and I was screaming. And I learned the principle that fear can translate to other people. Fear spreads. Fear translates. I want to talk about fear this morning. That's not the goal, but many of us have experience in fear. And maybe even last night as you're watching the news, or you got up this morning and you turned on the TV, or you Googled or got online, you're like, oh my gosh, what's going to happen? I understand. There are scary things going on in the world. What happens as a child of God, as a believer? What happens in my heart when I see real things, hear real things? Not pretend, not the boogeyman, not the monster underneath my bed that doesn't exist. Real things. What is my response to real things in life as a child of God, as a child of heaven? John 14, this isn't the text I'm going to feature this morning, but John 14, verse 26 and 27 says this, NIV. John 14, 26. But the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Holy Spirit will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Jesus, I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And don't be afraid. Now that presupposes in my logical little mind, I have a choice.
That's right.
I got a choice. I can be just like everybody else and experience real things, and I can either be afraid, or obviously there must be something else, another option, another possibility in life to the realities that are all around me. Isaiah 41:13, this is one of my wife's contributions to this morning. Isaiah 41:13 says this. This is the word of God. This is Bible. For I am the Lord your God who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you. When you go to the doctor's office, my stepmother grabbed my hand and walked me out. That's an option. We can grab one another's hands. Amen. And bring courage and life and strength to each other. That is what we should do as family. We grab hold of each other. Here's an additional. Here's your bonus. Here's my bonus. How about if I actually grab hold of the Lord's hand? In the midst of real scary stuff, whether it's a doctor's diagnosis, whether it's my bank account, whether it's what I hear whispering about my company being in an acquisition phase, I can call the prayer team, I can call Audrey and John. I can come up on Sunday, absolutely. The Bible says to pray for one another and lay hands on one another that we might be healed. It's absolutely, that's what the Bible says. In addition, what if my first choice, what if my first option is Jesus? What if my first call is to Him? I wonder if He might be my ever-present help. Because I'm his child. And he's the only one who knows the beginning from the end. He's the only one who knows the truth. Anybody ever hear of a bad doctor's report that's not true? They misdiagnosed? And the panic? Or you go in for an x-ray and they say, hey, we'll give you the results in 3 weeks. And I'm talking just honestly, in reality. What happens during those 3 weeks? It ain't easy. It's the what could, what should. And the doctors, and I love doctors. I have no problem with doctors. Thank you, Jesus, for doctors. They are committed to bringing life. But sometimes their delivery might include some fear. Yeah. They tell you, it could be this, could be this, could be this. Or you could be okay. But it could be this, this, and this. Dead 6 weeks, dead 6 months. Or you could live for a couple of years. Or maybe you're okay. As soon as I hear this 6 weeks, 6 months, 2 years, I'm like, oh. Fear, real fear. And how the world copes without Jesus, I don't know. Probably don't cope so great. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, says to me, do not fear. I have a choice. If he's telling me not to, I have a choice. Why? He will help me. Text that I want to reference this morning and touch point this morning. Mark chapter 4. If you've been in church for a while, this is a very familiar passage. Many of us could bring as good or better points than what I might touch on this morning. And Lord, I don't want to be so overly familiar with your word. I can just blah, 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 that I actually miss the impact of the word of God with overfamiliarity. Does that make sense at all? You ever tempted just to quote a scripture, blah, 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 without actually thinking, what did it just say? Oh my gosh. I remember the first time I was 18 years old as a new Christian and I was reading stuff in the Bible and I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. That, you can't do that. That is impossible. Jesus, you can't do that. I was so overwhelmed. So, because I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't go to Sunday school as a kid. I was a blank sheet, a really blank sheet. And I read the Bible and it's just, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is too good to be true. It's too good to be true. And now I can read it, blah, 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 blah. Okay, it's my chapter. Next. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Jesus and the 12 boys have been out ministering. They jump in a boat. They're going to go to the other side of a lake, a body of water. Mark 4, verse 35, NIV. That day, when evening came, didn't you ever seem like some of the worst storms in life happens when it's dark outside? Whether they're external storms or internal storms. Seems like they're so much worse at night. That day, when evening came, Jesus, said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him, Jesus, along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall. I love that word. It's an old word. It's not a commonly used word, except unless you're Audrey Block playing Words with Friends. Sorry, that's it. The last reference to you, Audrey. I apologize. Never going there. I'm going to go over to this side next. A furious. That's a strong word. That's not like the wind's kicked up. A gentle breeze from the north. A furious squall came up. If you don't know a squall, really, really bad storm. A furious squall came up, which would bring the idea, it was quick. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat. That doesn't sound good. So that it was nearly swamped. Not sounding good. Jesus, our hero, was in the stern, in the back, sleeping on a cushion. Huh. The disciples woke him and said to him, said to the Lord of life, said to the God of the universe, said to the Lord Almighty. They didn't know it, but that's who they woke up. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" Wow. What an indictment. What a statement. Doesn't say we're going to drown. Doesn't say, oh my gosh, things are bad. Don't you care if we drown? He, Jesus, got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And some of us struggle with this because our only picture or thought of Jesus is a gentle whisperer with a slight effeminate touch. You know, because he's just, he is a man's man, Jesus. A man's man. He doesn't lilt into the room. Is that? Yeah. Mm. Keep it moving. Jesus was a man, not a macho man, not some Neanderthal. Rude to people, mean to women, bully. That's not Jesus. But when Jesus stood up in the room, you knew somebody was speaking with authority.
Yeah, that's right.
He stands up and he rebukes the wind and says to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And guess what? What happened? Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And your situation, wouldn't it be great if your circumstance changed just like that? And it didn't get better. It was done.
Yeah, yeah.
It was right. That's what Jesus does. He makes what's broken right. He makes what's wrong the way heaven wants it to be. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And Jesus said to his disciples, that was a bad squall. I was a little scared too. Man, my brand new suit is wet. How about you? I hope this doesn't shrink. Did we get a warranty on my clothes? My hair's a mess. Can somebody read a Doppler report before we start out? Which one of you guys is in charge of weather? Come on, do your job. So irritating. Jesus said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" That's not very tentative. I laughed too heavy. Why are you so afraid? And here he follows it up with even a more gentle, kind, sensitive, soft answer, question, statement. Do you still have no faith? That's straight, baby. That's direct. That's hitting the 16-penny nail on the head. Yeah. Jesus has no grid for anything else in this moment. Zero grid for fear. Zero. Not accommodating it, not making room for it, no understanding. Hey, guys, I know this one's probably three chapters ahead of where some of you guys are in the book. It's okay, we'll get there. Jesus looks at him, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And I love this scripture. I love this part of it. It says, they were terrified. Now they're really terrified. Because they were terrified before. They're freaked out. They're shaking the Lord, waking him up, and indicting him with, don't you care? The wind and waves, they've stopped. The wind and waves are completely calm. No more storm. The way Jesus spoke about their actions and attitudes, now they're terrified. Because they realize his intention and their reality. My response to the situation, I just got a big F on my report card. That's a simple reality. Now they're terrified. They were terrified, and I love this. They didn't talk to Jesus. They talked to each other. Probably a safer zone on the inside at this point. They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? There is disciples. This is not day one of the trip. This is not day one of the program. This is not day one. What do they call the first day at college?
Orientation.
This isn't orientation, Dwight. Oh, you're in it deep today. This is not day one. They have been following Jesus. His expectation is here for them. You've seen miracle after miracle, blessing after blessing. And we have a storm, and you guys are asking if I care about you? I'm like, wow, this is one of those hard lessons as I read it. Because I put myself right there, and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do anything but get an F in that same test. I don't like boats particularly. I like water. I like looking at it from the beach. Beaches tend to be drier. They're terrified, not of the wind and the waves, of who this is that is in control of everything. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. And the challenge is the reality of what they all experienced together, including Jesus. They all experienced the same reality. They all felt the wind. They all felt the waves, the water. They were all in the same experience. And one person saw everything different. 12 are freaked out. And many of them are professional fishermen. They're used to this experience. It's not a first timer. But I think part of the problem was the indictment. Teacher, right in the middle, verse 38, right in the middle of the experience, they're waking him up. And as they're waking him up, teacher, don't you care? Wow. Jesus, he was the only one in that moment who knew who he was. He's the only one who knew who he was. And as the statement goes, and whose he was. I'm a child of God, and I'm his. I know who I am and whose I am. It's a total game changer when you understand those two things. But the storms of life can challenge my perspective, can jade my feeling when the wind's blowing through my scalp. And the water's lashing in my face. I can forget who I am and whose I am. But not Jesus, not ever. He knew he's loved. Jesus knew he was loved. Jesus didn't wake up and say to his father, don't you care? Never came out of Jesus' mouth. Because he knew, I'm loved, I'm your child, and you're my dad. Those are facts. These are facts that we're experiencing. Those are greater facts. What's more important to me? What I'm feeling or what I know about my Father in heaven? Jesus had the beauty and the power and the ability to be at peace in any and every situation. because he knew he had a dad in heaven who cared for him and loved him. And Jesus, he wanted to train 12 people to change, to become who they are called to be, to not just be the thermometer in the situation, but the thermostat. I got it right this time. Because the thermostat regulates the room for everybody. The thermometer tell you how I'm doing. And Jesus is the ultimate thermostat. And he wants you and me to become the thermostats in life. To regulate the room for everybody around. Because when I was screaming in the pediatric office, I regulated that room with fear. You go in to see that doctor, you're screaming, baby. It's going to be ugly. And I spread fear throughout the whole room. Didn't intend to, but my response, two little girls crying, is that him? He's still alive, I think. But the disciples, their questions, their statements, it gave away where they really were in life, the fear, the panic, their reactions. It gave them away. And Jesus, as he's looking at him, he's like, you guys don't know me. You still don't know what I'm really like. You don't know I love you. I'm here. There's nothing, when you're with me, when I'm in the boat with you in life, nothing's going to happen to you that I don't and am involved in and care about and dictate and have a hand in. I'm with you. Out there, if you're in the other boats in life, you're on your own, baby. You're facing your own furious squalls. But when Jesus is in your boat,
amen.
When he's in your boat, everything is different. Moments reveal the real me. My words give me away. My accusations of heaven gives me away. The revealing moments. Aware moments, self-aware moments. Jesus said, why? Thomas, and it's easier for me. Thomas, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And if I'm Thomas, I'm like, there's a storm. My clothes are wet. My scalp is mostly wet. Reality. Depending which reality is determining my peace. Faith spreads. Peace spreads. Jesus brought peace to the situation and to the boat and to every human being in it. What about my situation? What about your situation? There are people in this room who have some scary situations, some real situations going on. Real, and I mean real situations. Not, you know, what could be or what might be or if the stock market doesn't do this. Who knows? But I'm talking real situations. Diagnosed. What do I do when there's wind and waves? GBH, great but how? What do I do with my real situations? Two questions. Can I have the worship team come up, please? Thank you. Great but how? First question is, who you hanging with? Who you hanging with? A couple of weeks ago, I did a message on Joshua and Caleb. There were 12 spies. It's in the book of Numbers. 12 spies went into the land to spy it out. That's what spies do. They spy out. Not a trick question. They all saw the same thing. All saw the same thing. All real stuff. Even Joshua and Caleb admitted there are giants. Nephilim. The sons of Anak, the relatives of Anak, they're there. Absolutely, they're there. And you know what the two said? We can take them. We can take them. The other 10 saw the same thing and said the same thing. There are real problems. Nephilim, massive giants, and they spread fear amongst the family. And all of them, 21 and older, died. All the men, all of them. A couple of million people died in the desert because the thermostat on the wall was dictated by fear. All saw the same thing. Who are you hanging with? Are you, can I just encourage you and me? Find some Joshua and Calebs. Find some people who understand real. You ever know Christians who are just deny reality? And I look at, well, you know, I've got, oh, I don't want to get gross. I already talked about furuncles. You know, you got, gosh, I'm not going to go there. Congestion running down my face. I don't have a cold. What is that? I don't have a cold. Well, it looks like you might have some congestion running down your face. I don't have to deny the reality of something, but I have a greater reality. What the Word of God and what my Father in Heaven says. That reality trumps this reality. But it doesn't change the reality. I'm not saying it's unreal. It's real. What is my response to who I'm looking to? What reality trumps what? And can I encourage you, if you were like me, I look at some heroes in my life. And I'll just, one is Rick Derby, a guy, some of you know him, amazing man. Went to be with Jesus in 1996. And he spent so much time with me. And he challenged me. He pulled the Word of God out and kindly corrected me with the Word of God. And he loved me enough and paid attention to me, saw me, spoke to me. I didn't appreciate the way he spoke to me all the time. It hurt. But I knew that Rick loved me. And he spent enough time, he loved me enough to spend time with me. Whether we were fishing, camping, hunting, playing softball, Parkway Baptist. He spent time with me. But Ricky was a man of faith. He was flawed because he was a human being. He was far from perfect. But he was a Joshua and a Caleb. And I'll be forever grateful for what people of faith put into my life. You know any Joshua and Calebs? If you don't, come talk to me. I can point some out. Who you're hanging with is going to determine a lot of how I see reality of life. Find a Joshua and a Caleb. I got some great scriptures. We're going to go on to the next one. Second point, who are you hanging with? Find a Joshua and Caleb. Can I just encourage you? There's another option. And his name is Jesus. Who am I hanging with? I can turn on CNN. Let's Christianize it. I can watch Fox News all day. Or I could trade just 10 minutes, just 20 minutes, just 30 minutes of all my information coming into me. And what if I chose to hang with Jesus? What if I chose to open the Bible and see what Jesus says about my reality? Real things. And I'm not diminishing or marginalizing the real things that are happening, pain in my life. They're real. But what does Jesus say about my real? I can find, it will help me immensely, it will help you immensely to find a Joshua and a Caleb. Exponentially better to hang with King Jesus. Exponentially. Because my friends, the Joshua and Calebs, are flawed. I'm flawed. Stephen Newton is flawed. Pretty wonderful. Nice knees. But Jesus isn't flawed. And he never lies. He never worries. He never shades the truth. He says it in a way that I can hear. Those guys in that boat could hear the truth. It hurt. Guarantee you it stung. But Jesus, to tells me the truth in love every time. Who am I hanging with? We have an opportunity right now. And it sounds gross, so I'll change the word. We have an opportunity every day to worship Him. Every single day. If I got up 20 minutes earlier, I can hang with Jesus in the morning. Yeah, flip on your CD. If it helps my experience, put on, who's the guy who says, what a name, there's a name? Brandon Lake, my new fave. Flip on a CD by Brandon Lake and just worship with him. Listen, look at the words. Flip on a Bethel or Jesus Culture, Dallas, Upper Room. Turn on Upper Room and just worship Jesus in the privacy. That's what Jesus did. I have lots of scriptures this morning that I'm not going to talk about where Jesus secretly went away. And he's just with his dad. Just him. It's not sermon time. It's connection. That is how Jesus was able to speak to the wind and the waves. If I want to speak to the wind and the waves, it's from the secret place. Becomes public place. Can we all stand, please? We have an opportunity to worship Jesus. So here's the thing, no guilt, no shame. Jesus is never a king of shame, but he always offers me change. He says, Tom, you've been looking at the wind and the waves, talking about the wind and the waves. How about we start talking about heaven? How about we start talking about what God says? How about I start looking at King Jesus? Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love you. Lord, I know there's so many times I struggle with anxieties. I want to change. Lord, there's so many times I look at life and I get fixated with the giants in the land. Because they're real. Lord, help me to see, almost like with a servant, with Elisha. I believe the prophet spoke and prayed that the servant's eyes would open to see the armies around the armies. Father, that I would see the angels in my circumstance, your word in my circumstance. Father, help me, before I worry about being a thermostat for anyone else, Lord, help me to be a thermostat for myself. And I find that in your presence. To hear your voice. To let hot tears roll down my cheeks as I encounter you. Let's just do that right now. Let's just encounter him right now.
Since I was in the prayer room early this morning, I heard God saying he wants to heal people today. Whether it's a prick on your finger or cut, whether it's a diabetes, no matter what it is, he's really wanting to heal. And so the word I heard from him was, I love every one of you. I'm not a respecter of persons. There's nothing you've done that can separate you from me. And that Jesus' love is so great. Don't hold back. Don't think I'm not good enough. Mm. Healing's for someone else. It's for everyone. There is no sickness in heaven. There is no disabilities in heaven. Heaven is full of God's love and complete healing. And it's for everyone. It's not just for one person. And the testimonies we hear from today are going to be great because he just really wants to pour his Holy Spirit out. so that everyone can be healed, whether it's sniffles, cold. Nothing is too minor and nothing is too big for a great God.
Beautiful. And so, amen. So on that, again, if I can have, if you're able and willing, if you can stand, this is just, for some of us, that's step one. Because I mean, just the very beginning of the meeting, there was just a perfume in the room. And I just felt the Lord, just the prompting on the inside, just today, I want to heal people. And people in their mind are going to be like, I've already been prayed for that. I've already done that. And how many times in the Word of God do we see where it was this time, the beggar at the gate, beautiful. How many times did Jesus walk right past him? And there was a day when Peter and John, that day. Why not this day for you? You may have been prayed for 142 times. Why not this time? Jesus wants to heal you. And there's no grade. Well, again, if you're like me, I think, I have been a million miles away. I just feel the pleasure of heaven and say, great, let's make that gap close today. You may have been a million miles away. That doesn't qualify you for or against healing. He just loves you. So if you've been prayed for 142 times, what about 143 today, this day? So you've already taken one step in standing up. Just come on up. Let's pray, lay hands on them. There's going to be a few folks, so don't spend 30 minutes with each person. Jesus is doing the healing, not you. Just lay hands, let's speak healing, believe, amen. So come on up, you want to be healed, let's believe for it right now. Worship team, great. If you're a guest, you need to scoot. God bless you, have an amazing week, we love you. Jesus cares for all your needs, and he is with you in the boat even now, amen. Be blessed, be encouraged. Let's see some miracles. Believe for some healings.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.